B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Listen, the tragic death of Kobe Bryant hit a lot of people hard in this area, worldwide, within the NBA basketball ranks, but no harder than our next guest, because he was his high school coach and he stayed in contact with Kobe consistently throughout the years. Let's welcome in the highly successful longtime coach, Laurie Marion High School, Greg Downer, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Greg, how are you feeling today?
Good. How you doing, gang?
I'm doing okay. When this happened, obviously it really shook you, and it's been a few weeks now after the fact, and I wonder what your emotions are right now, if you could put it in perspective for us.
Well, I'm going day by day, and you know, like a lot of people, I'm trying to process this and go through my own grieving and mourning process. You know, there's no blueprint for this. It was just such an unbelievable shock, and really I feel like a piece of my heart is gone, and there are probably some incremental steps that are being taken to help me with this. The tribute at Lower Marion High School, the sold-out tribute with kind of 1,300 black Kobe Bryant T-shirts was step one. Playing some basketball games with my current team was step two. Because it hasn't certainly been easy on them either. And then, you know, the ceremony on Monday 2/24 was a big step. But I'm really in day-to-day mode, and I don't know really what the future holds with this. But somehow, myself, like everybody else, I got to come to terms with this, and I got to move on.
Greg, you were at the ceremony a couple of days ago. By all accounts, very emotional. It was on while we were actually on the air, but so many important people spoke. And, of course, his wife got up there, and I can't imagine how difficult that was for her. What was your sense and perspective of that ceremony?
Well, I thought it was really well done. You know, I thought Vanessa was tremendous. I wasn't sure exactly what the lineup of speakers was going to be. But she was really good, and it was just a who's who of basketball. I mean, as I'm looking around, I'm looking at Bill Russell, Elgin Baylor, Kareem Jabbar, Jerry West, Michael Jordan, Shaq. And all the speeches were great. I thought, you know, I want to watch the speech again. I thought Jordan's speech, you know, with the tears flowing, may have at some level been almost an iconic speech. Shaq, of course, mixed in some humor. He did a good job. And one other thing, the Bryant family was very important to the family that Gianna not get lost in this ceremony. And they wanted her to have 50% of this ceremony. And some of the women speakers did a great job and talking about her WNBA aspirations and what a great little young athlete she had become.
Now, had you gotten to know Vanessa very well over the years, and did you get a chance to talk to her after this had happened?
Not really. I never really knew Vanessa well, but one of the things I was hoping was going to happen with this trip was a chance to say hi to Kobe's parents, who I was very close with, Pam and Joe. And I was able to see them there. I was able to see both of the sisters, Shea and Sharia. And of all the things that might be helping me with some form of closure, getting a big hug from Joe Bryan and getting a big hug from Pam Bryan and his sisters was near the top of the list.
Talking to Greg Downer, coach of Lower Marion High School, and of course was very close to Kobe over the years. If you can detail for me how you guys were able to stay in touch over the years. Now, the connection that he brought to Lower Marion, I mean, there's tremendous pride that's associated with Lower Marion High School. Not that you guys weren't successful before, but when he stepped into to Lower Marion, became larger than life, it really put the school on the map, and he brought great acclaim to the school. So, like, how did you, the years that followed, how did you handle those with Kobe?
Well, we always had a good relationship. I thought, you know, I never really asked him for anything, which was important. I thought our relationship was pretty pure. I used to go out there every summer and work his summer camps, which was often 1 week of quality time with him. You know, he used to always come back when he was in town to play the Sixers and get us tickets and check in with the current Aces team. But, you know, I was lucky enough to just have a good relationship with him and stay in good touch with him. And about a year ago, we took our ball club out there, all 12 to 15 players, and we spent 3 or 4 days with him at his office. He bought us Lakers tickets. He bought us a nice lunch. And, you know, he often says that Lower Merion in many ways was his alma mater because he did not go to college. And, you know, one of the joys of my long coaching career is our relationship was pure. We kept in touch. And for an East Coast guy who's truthfully supposed to be rooting for the Sixers, I mean, I watched pretty much every second of Lakers basketball that I could over the past 20 years. And, you know, I was at a lot of the games. I was at a lot of the playoff games. I flew to Indiana. I flew to Orlando. I flew to Boston. I've been to many games at the Staples Center. And, you know, just to be with this guy from the age of 14, really, to the age of 41, certainly, I would have to say, is, you know, near the pinnacle of my career.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
He always cherished the impact of Lower Merion High School, as you just mentioned, wearing the Lower Merion shorts under the Lakers shorts, and always coming back. And he, you know, when I talked to him, he would mention G. Mastriano and how the impact that the school actually had on him. Well, what was different about him that he was able to appreciate that? And because some guys get to be stars and they put that in the rear view. He really made Lower Merion still a part of his life throughout his life.
He did, and, you know, that was a great thing. Gene Mastriano, who you just mentioned, was at the service. You know, she was sitting, you know, in a great seat, you know, as was I, and a few of his teammates and a few of the other assistant coaches. And, you know, you hear stories about the Lower Merion shorts under the Lakers shorts, and there would be times when I would be watching him, I felt like, play a ball game against, like, Denver or Utah, and we'd be at an Aces practice the next day, and all of a sudden he'd be, like, standing in the corner, like, watching practice, and I wasn't even sure how that was mathematically possible with, like, a plane ride. But, you know, he was always there for the Aces. Sometimes I would ask him to go on to speakerphone before big games, before like state championship type games, and he did it, you know. And like I said,
what was that like for your team to hear that?
Well, you know, it was just a thrill, you know, when you're in a locker room and this guy Kobe Bryant comes onto the speakerphone and says, "Play hard, honor the jersey, no shortcuts, no excuses," and he's given like this big pep talk. You know, that's bringing goosebumps to me, and it's bringing goosebumps to the players as well.
Greg, listen, it's not every day that an NBA player shows up and plays for high school. And I was always curious to know how you were able to coach an NBA talent player like that, and how, what your methodology was for doing it. Because, you know, sometimes you have to let a kid go, but sometimes you know, you want to, within the team, that dynamic, you have to coach him. Well, what was that like? How did you balance that?
Well, when I met him, you know, he was 14 years old, and, you know, we got acclimated, he and I, and I saw his work ethic, I saw his hatred of losing, and he saw my work ethic, and he saw my hatred of losing, and I think that was a good start for the two of us. And when you have a player of that talent, first to practice, last to leave, winning all the sprints, winning all the weight training sessions, showing up when there are 2 hour late openers due to snow on the ground. When you have that foundation, when your best player is working that hard, it permeates nicely to the rest of the team. And, you know, I always, as a coach, I try to treat the 15th player the same way as the top player. And I was hard on Kobe. I challenged Kobe. I was the one that was quite often with him before practice, after practice was over. But, you know, if he screwed up or if he did something where we needed to show him some personal accountability, we tried to do it. And, you know, he could be stubborn. You know, we know that. But at the end of the day, from a coaching perspective, I doubt you'd ever find anybody else that you'd rather go to war with.
I think this is a question that, because of what happens with great basketball players these days, where they pick and choose the best basketball school that they can go to in a high school level, he stayed at Lower Merion. And I was just curious, like, made him stay in a public school environment. To me, it shows that he was invested educationally in that school district, which is a very good school district. But did you ever wonder why he didn't go to IMG Academy or something like that?
I had a conversation just last night with some of my assistant coaches about this very topic, and it's a good question, Mike, but I let Joe Bryant know right away that I was a young, hard-charging coach. I had a lot of energy. I had a lot of ideas. And I said to Joe, like, look, you got to give me a chance, you know, but if you're going to wander off and flirt with Roman Catholic, or if you're going to flirt with some of these other private schools or some of these other schools that can recruit, like, you got to let me know that right now. And I got a good relationship with Joe. It helped that both of his sisters were already at Lower Merion High School and they were already happy there. And I just got a great relationship with Joe to the point where for a few years, Joe was my junior varsity coach. And in retrospect, you know, I was lucky that he never did leave. And you're right, he trusted me and he trusted the great education that Lower Merion can provide.
Let's get back a little bit to the ceremony, because I'm wondering if you realized the extent of the people he touched, and you obviously saw it at that ceremony where there were like almost 100,000 requests to get in there and how many people lined up at the memorial. Did you get a new perspective on that, or had you always known how he touched people?
I've always known that. I knew how popular he was globally. I knew that, you know, he was a rock star in China. You know, and he's one of these guys with one name. You know, you don't have to say his last name. You don't have to say Tiger Woods' last name. You know, and one thing that did surprise me a little bit was maybe the raw emotion of some of these NBA players that for years he was competing with. And, you know, competing with Kobe for championships and for rings was not easy, nor was it pretty. Paul Pierce and Westbrook and Harden and Jordan and all these guys that were at the Staples Center, many of which I think got a really good look at him on the Olympic team. But, you know, LeBron and just it just shook everyone right to your core. But you know, I don't know if there's a person out there really with his global popularity, and it's just been an unbelievably difficult thing for really the whole world to process that he's gone. There were a few weird moments, Mike, where at the Staples Center, you know, there would be a celebrity coming out of the tunnel, and you would hear like some buzzing in the crowd. You know, it's J-Lo, it's Christina Aguilera, you know, it's whoever. And I had like this weird thought, like, it's Kobe. Like there he is. Like, I'm thinking, like, this bad dream is over. You know, Superman has escaped the helicopter. And I'm just like, I can't believe that really Superman, my Superman, is dead. And it's just a really difficult thing to process.
Greg, listen, we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. I know this has really been difficult for you. And, you know, the emotions have really bogged you down when this happened. So I appreciate you giving us your perspective today.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Take care.
All right, Greg Downer, the head coach of Lower Merion High School, with some thoughts on Kobe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.